Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be with you. You know already if you've been tuning into the Deen Show, this is the best greeting that one can give, is that greeting of peace. Jesus greeted his followers with that greeting of peace. So did Moses, Abraham, and the last and final messenger sent to mankind, the Prophet Muhammad. Peace be upon them all. You're tuning into the Deen Show. It's exciting that you wake up every day and the creator of the heavens and earth is giving you another day to live the way of life, the purpose of life that's pleasing to him, so then you can be successful in this life and then have the ultimate reward, Jannah, paradise in the next. But talk is cheap. You got to back it up with action. So we're going to be giving you the blueprint on how you can be successful. You depressed? This is the antidote to depression. Are you having a hard time and you just don't know? You're going out of your mind? We got the formula to help you live a better life so you can be successful in this life and the next. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with my special guest here on the Deen Show.
This is the Deen Show.
This is the Deen Show.
This is the Deen.
This is the Deen Show.
This is the Deen Show.
This is the Deen Show.
This is the Deen.
This is the Deen Show.
This is the Deen
Show. This is the Deen Show.
This is the Deen.
This is the Deen
Show.
This is the Deen Show.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you.
Alaikum salam, Eddie. How you doing?
How are you, Shaykh?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
Shaykh Kareem Abu Zaid.
Yes.
Here on the Deen Show, many people know you from Huda TV and you lecture all over America.
Alhamdulillah.
Tell us just a little bit about yourself.
I'm the Imam of Colorado Muslim Society. I was born in Egypt. I've been in America almost for 20 years. And I'm just a student of knowledge.
Well, you're a student that we want to learn from. You're our sheikh, and we want to benefit from what you have. You've been studying Islam for, you know, the way of life of all the messengers, the way of life that's pleasing to the Creator, submission to the will of God. So you have the experience. We want to get some of this. You also, you know, help people who've come to Islam, people who are in Islam. But you heard me mention that talk is cheap. You got to back it up with action. You can't just say, look, I believe, and then there's nothing behind that. Is that correct?
It is absolutely very accurate statement, and that goes to anyone who wants to become a Muslim, to harvest the fruit of submission, obedience, adherence, which is peace in this world, like you said, and of course the ultimate success in the next life, which is the everlasting abode, Jannah. You have to do the work. You have to commit yourself to the religion. You have to live like a Muslim. You cannot pretend to be one. You have to be one in actual. You have to fulfill the commands. That's where you begin. And this actually was quoted in a beautiful hadith, hadith Qudsi fi Sahih al-Bukhari, hadith Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Man 'ada li waliyan faqad adantuhu bil harb." And then subhanahu wa ta'ala he says, "My servant will not find anything that will bring him closer to me than what I have prescribed upon him." So we're talking about the five daily prayers here. Start from there. If you have not started, if you want to start, right there. Five daily prayers. Four are not enough. Three are not enough. Two are not enough. Five. Five daily prayers. Basics. Then you can increase nawafil, sunan. You can do that. But you have to start with the basics. And of course, the rest, zakah, the 2.5%, the mandatory, fasting, Ramadan, and hajj if you're able to. So you have to begin submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Tell us, Shaykh, now, before we get into these, we're just talking about basic things. These are basic things, the basic fundamentals, and you build off that. If you don't have a good foundation, how are you going to build a house, right?
Absolutely.
So we're going to talk about the basic things, that the driving force behind this way of life. But now we cater to a lot of not yet Muslims, because I say, look, everyone has the ability to submit to God. Now you make a choice. You want to submit to yourself, your desires, to a woman, to money, to fame, to power, or you want to submit to the one who gave you life, who'll give you death, the one you're going to have to go back and answer to, day of judgment, paradise or hellfire. So we want people in paradise, and we want ourselves first and foremost, and we care. That's why we're sharing. So for the not yet Muslims, there are many stereotypes. So now they think Muslim, and right away you know what goes with that, terrorist. You know, so they see like us sitting here, and then they see, you know, they used to flick in the channel, and they don't see like the hat and the beard, and they say, man. So the Muslim got his friend like to sit down and watch. So now in his head, he's just thinking, terrorists, man, what am I watching here? These guys, Al-Qaeda or something, what's going on? You're laughing. Tell us now. Listen, what do you got to say about this when somebody starts to, you know, have this in the back of their head? Some express it. They say, terrorist, Muslim. What do you say about this?
I really want to say, who are you on the side of Allah? I really care about who am I in the side of my Creator. Allah told me in the Quran that you belong to the best ummah. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. You are the best ummah. You are Muslims, the best ummah. I'm talking to you, brothers, and I'm talking to the audience as well. You see, Allah praised me, but not because of my birth, because of I do the things which makes me a Muslim again, which makes me the best ummah in that context. Like to be a Muslim, you have to do, we said earlier, the work. Exactly, if you want to belong to the best ummah, you have to enjoin good, forbid evil, you have to believe in Allah. That's who I am in the sight of Allah. Listen, you're here to please your Lord. You're not here to please the people. And actually, our messenger told us that if you try, well, hadith fi Sunan al-Tirmidhi, hadith Aisha radiallahu anha, if you actually try to please people at the expense of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make those people displeased with you. Man arda an-nasa bi sakhati Allah, askhata Allahu alayhi nas. The same person, like a typical Muslim now, he shies away from praying at work because he's afraid to make his boss upset. I'm telling you, you're making your boss happy at the expense of Allah, your boss will fire you. Please Allah. And if you try to please Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you act like a Muslim, so don't act like a weirdo. I mean, let's balance here. Let's balance. Try to have the character of a Muslim. You see, if you want to look like a Muslim, also have the character of a Muslim. I'm sorry, some of these judgments that non-Muslims make they have some ground for it. We have Muslims who do not act like Muslims. His name is Muhammad, but he's not acting like one. Mm-hmm. We got to also have the character as well. If you do this, if you're a Muslim, you're in the business of pleasing your Lord, and you carry yourself as a Muslim, character-wise, I care less what people say about me.
So what about now, that's for the Muslim. What about the non-Muslim? Never heard this word Allah. He never, you know, had this experience with any of these Arabic terms. But all he saw was Fox News, CNN, and they show things blowing up. And they show a guy with a beard, Arab looking. And they right away stigmatize and they think like Arab, Muslim, terrorist. We're talking to the non-Muslim now. Have you had this experience? What do you tell them?
I share with them, you know, I was brought up in Egypt.
Yeah.
And this is a real story here.
Tell us, Shaykh.
And they told us throughout history that Brits are bad, British. They occupied Egypt, they killed those people. It's brainstorming, brainwashed.
Brainwashing, yeah.
Brainwashed. So, you know, I went to school in Cairo and it's maybe the first time I revealed myself. I was, by profession, I used to be a tour guide mm-hmm. in Egypt. Guess who was my first clients?
A British?
British. And I said, no way. Uh-huh. We're still friends till now.
Yeah.
I mean, friends in the sense of we communicate, yani, low-key kind of thing. But listen, you taste hate. If you hate, you taste the bitterness of hate.
If you hate, you're
not gonna be happy. And it is unfair, and I'm really speaking to you here, it is unfair to hate somebody who does not deserve your hate. Listen, I'm like you, you know, I'm like the Patricia and Joe. You know, I take the trash out every day and I try to clean.
Back here on the Dean Show with our special guest, and we are going to be, I opened the show, I said, look, you're going through drama, you're going through hard times, we all are, it's a test, we know that, but when you have the Creator on your side, It's a smooth ride.
Right.
Right? So now the person's like, his life's upside down. His children are disobeying him. The kids are swearing, cursing, disrespecting the parents. You know, it's all havoc. But then when you go, these are Muslim individuals, and we're not trying to just, you know, disparage on anybody, put nobody down, but we want to evaluate so we can give the proper medicine, right? And Islam has all the cures and all the solutions for all the ills that are out there. Now, when you talk and you have, you're an imam, you talk to the people, do you see that when you start talking to some people about their life, you see like you evaluate, you ask questions. And one of the main things is they're not even making the salat, and you're wondering why your house is upside down. You didn't teach your children to submit to the Creator, and now they're submitting to all the pop stars, the movie stars, and now you're wondering why you have hell in your house.
Islam is like a medicine, Eddie. You have to take it. You have to swallow it in order to get well. You cannot pretend to be one. You have to walk the walk, like they say in America. You have to fulfill the commands and do it with the intention of pleasing your Lord, and you will see the impact of this. I run a a question and answer show, and I get people calling me all the time, Muslims, about depression. You know, I should direct them to somebody who can give them medicine. But if they call the sheikh, that means they are looking maybe for some help from a religious perspective. You know, the first question I ask them is, do you pray 5 times?
Wonderful question. Do you pray 5? That's your medicine.
Yes. You know, the answer is no.
Subhanallah.
I said, okay, imagine that I'm a doctor.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm going to write a prescription right here for you. Pray 5 times. I know you called me. I'm not a doctor. I'm sure there for depression, I don't want to dismiss that there are some medical treatment for it. I'm not dismissing that. But he called the sheikh, he called an imam. So I told him, here is a prescription, pray 5 times, and please visit me in 2 months.
MashaAllah.
Yeah, that's the way it is. That's, if you want to benefit, you see, when you submit to Allah, you will have that harmony. Probably I'm talking to non-Muslims. You see, look how we are fashioned. You're made of 2 components together. Body and soul, two put together. Okay, the Prophet ﷺ told us that when we become a sperm, and then after 120 days in the womb of the mother, then an angel comes and blows the soul in that little flesh, and then we die. How we die? When the soul leaves the body. Okay, let's leave everything here and listen. How do you nourish your body? What do you do? What do you do?
You eat.
Eat, drink, work out.
Yeah.
What about the soul? Have you ever thought that your soul needs food? Your soul needs nourishment? You know, the nourishment of the soul is submission.
Submission to God.
That is why when you pray, you feel at peace. When you recite the Quran, you feel at peace. When you fast, you feel at peace. Anytime that, because you're nourishing your soul. And that is how you strike the balance between the two, the body and soul. You become happy and content. You see, we need to be aware also that Satan is smart. He introduced some substance that can help the soul, but it has side effects. Smoking weed makes you high.
Mm-hmm.
Drinking makes you high, but side effects, and it will kill you at the end because it is the wrong nourishment for your soul. But the right nourishment is submission. And that's how it is. And that's how every Muslim need to look at it. If you're seeking happiness in this world, do the work that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to do to show your submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you will inherit the next life. But again, do it in the basis of ikhlas, sincerity. You're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Now some people, okay, they start praying, right? And they think they're going to experience, now they're going to be floating in the air or something, you know, because you see a lot of these different groups up there, and mystics and that, and, you know, they start to, you know, have you thinking like you're going to be somewhere in the heavens, like, ooh, but now you're praying, and the guy's like, well, okay, you're talking about, you know, I'm supposed to be feeling something, but it's difficult, you know, I'm standing here, I got to prostrate, go down, and I'm not floating in the air, you know what I mean? So what's it's not working, so they stop praying. Is this what we're supposed to be experiencing?
You see, Shaykh, I'm just laughing.
It's true, isn't it?
It is very true.
Yeah.
The way that you present it is very interesting.
MashaAllah.
Mystic and that thing. You see, that approach is a weird approach. But
yeah.
Let me tell you something. You know, when Satan refused to bow down to Adam and then he was rejected,
yeah,
he said what to? I will be in the straight path for your, the children of Adam. Any time that they want to do goodness, I will be out there. And there is a story that probably mentioned in the books that some guy came to Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, and he said to him, I have hidden a treasure somewhere and I don't remember. Mm-hmm. Can you help me find it? He said, man, ask me about a fatwa or something. I can't help you with that stuff. But listen, why don't you go and...
Wait, say that again. So he asked who?
He asked Abu Hanifa.
Abu Hanifa.
Rahimahullah. The Imam.
Yeah.
Imam al-Alam, Abu Hanifa.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a story that mentioned in the book.
So he's asking him,
I can't find my treasure.
And he's like, I got time for that. I can't help you.
Listen.
Ask me about like the deen.
About religious stuff. Yeah. So, but he said to him, what? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you go make wudu and intend that you're going to pray all night tonight? Mm-hmm. Allahu Akbar, the first rakah. You know what? He remembered where the treasure is. He left. He did not even complete the rakah. He left and he found it.
He just left to pray. Yeah. He did the wrong thing now.
Satan, you see, in salah, Satan actually reminds you with your problems and offers you the best solutions. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure the viewers can relate to this. But after you say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah in the salah, you forget everything. Why? Because it's a struggle, the presence of the mind, the presence of the heart. And this takes time to develop. This takes time to reach that stage. But at the end of the day also, you're not going to fly in the air or anything like that.
No flying in the
air. No. Okay. No, I mean, please, come on. Yeah. I mean, it's enough that you feel that you're in front of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's enough that you feel like you're speaking to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, hadith sahih Muslim, hadith Abi Hurairah, قَسَّمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نَصْفَيْنِ. The salah, liha al-fatiha. The salah word, he means al-fatiha. When my servant says, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, then Allah says, my servant has praised me. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, exalted me. Malik Yawm al-Din, glorified me. Actually, you're speaking to Allah. Enough. Why do we stand in the salah? We're supposed to look down and where we prostrate. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at you. And you show humility and humbleness. When you prostrate, the closest position to Allah, that is enough.
You're the closest to the Creator
when you place your forehead in the ground. أقرب ما يكون العبد لربه وهو ساجد فأكثره من الدعاء. هكذا قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. The closest position to Allah is when you're prostrating. So make a lot of dua. Enough that feeling that you're, you know, out there. And if you're going through hardship, you know, help me. Some patience, you know. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed you with something, say alhamdulillah. Ushkur Allah for it. Say alhamdulillah. If you have committed a sin, ask Allah to forgive it. Enough that you're communicating, connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But flying up in the air, come on.
So before we go to break, is it safe to say, can we say that it takes work, okay?
Oh, yeah.
It takes work, it takes discipline. But if you do it, you'll feel the benefits will come. That's a guarantee.
Absolutely.
But you have to come to Allah with a sincere heart.
Sincere heart. Work on it.
Work on it.
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up. You may actually encounter one salah that it's not happening, but then the next salah will happen. But if you keep working on it, keep forcing it, it will come.
Try to focus. Okay? You see some people like praying, and then they're looking around. What is it? It's not acceptable.
No, absolutely.
You've seen this?
Actually,
is this guy praying? Why is he looking at me?
The Prophet says, مَا بَالُ أَقْوَامٍ يَرْفَعُونَ. What's wrong with people who raise their visions in the air?
Yeah.
No. Imagine you're standing in front of a cup. Mm-hmm. You're standing in front of Allah. Imagine you're standing in front of a cup. Will you look away?
No.
Look me into the eye. Right? You say that.
Yeah.
You're standing in front of Allah.
Humble yourself.
And that is why you're supposed also to have a sutra in front of
sutra.
You. To prevent people.
Yeah.
A barrier to prevent people from
That's
coming.
An authentic hadith, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You could overcome it by going to the side. You could do this. It doesn't have to be necessary, but sutra is the ideal. But basically, you don't want anybody to disconnect that connection with your Creator. This is what you need. 5 times a day. Imagine having this 5 times.
5 times a day. That's the prescription. Now,
yes.
5 times a day.
Yes.
And if the doctor gave you the prescription, you take it. Allah has given it to you. Take it. We'll be right back with more here in Deen Show.
Allah, there's only one way.
People often say to me, why have you become a Muslim? No, I give a very frivolous answer. I say, I want to be on the side of the angels.
Tupac is a god. He's the number one rap artist in the world. He sold over 60 million records worldwide.
60 million?
60 million. He was a young guy who had basically everything that some of the youth would think that life is all about. He had everything you can imagine.
The Dean Show. I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
Back here on the Dean Show, and we're talking about the prescription, the Salah, the prayer, the one who has testified that there's nothing worthy of worship except the one who created everything in the universe. He's one and alone. He doesn't have a co-equal, co-partner. As soon as you put someone next to God, you mess the whole thing up, isn't it?
Absolutely.
That's the pure monotheism.
Yeah, that's
Jesus is not God. No one's God. God is God.
And it's beautiful.
Beautiful, isn't it?
It feels good. It makes sense. It matches your fitrah.
It does. I love talking about it.
Well, it's the way it is. That's how you feel. And actually, the closest, you see, what messed this is the society, is the community, is the people making up all these fairy tales about who God is. But if you really check out in your own self, you know who God is. God is uniquely one. He is not three. He is not made of no sun, nothing of that. God is God. And you know, you brought up the issue of the Salah. You know, they define Iman. Iman, Eddie, Iman has two ends. Heart, which creed, that you believe in Allah, who Allah is, whose the angels are. The six tenets of faith. Mm-hmm. Allah, angels, messengers, books, Qadr, day of resurrection.
Yes.
So maintaining a firm belief in those will lead to you acting upon it. Acting. Like we're talking about the Salah. Why Muslims are negligent of the Salah when they know the first question they will be asking the day of resurrection is the Salah?
First question.
The first question.
Number one.
Number one question. Imagine I'm telling you, you're going to take a test on Monday. I mean, Monday is the beginning of the week. That's why I chose it, but nothing special about
it.
And listen, the first test is so and so. And you cannot take the rest of the test without passing that test. And here is the answer. What are you going to do? You're going to memorize it word by word. Because if you mess up that question, if you mess up the answer for this question, that means you're done. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells you, أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسَبُ عَلَيْهِ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. The first thing that a person will be questioned about in the day of resurrection is the Salah. If it is sound, then we'll look at the rest of your deeds.
Otherwise, you're not moving forward.
You're done. You're done. So now I want to take you back to the issue of the creed here. The creed. If that person really, the conditions on that day, the day of resurrection, it's miserable. It's miserable. If he knows that he was going to be standing in front of Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hadith Ali ibn Hatim, he says, "Ma minkum min ahadin illa wa sayakallama." None of you but Allah will speak to. Allah will ask you about the Salah. If you, that verse, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّةً. Whoever is concerned about standing in front of Allah and having to answer that question. Why you didn't pray five times? Huh? Oh, well, I had the soap opera. Well, the football game, it always came at the time of the Salah. Well, I had...
No. You were worshipping that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you love that.
You love that more than this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the issue here is, let's make sense. This life is short. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the lifespan of my ummah is between 60 and 70 years old. Hadith Sunan al-Tirmidhi. Hadith yani Hasan.
But you could die tomorrow.
You could die tomorrow. And you could live more than that. But I'm talking about the overall average. Of the ummah. That's 60 years. Imagine the day of resurrection is 50,000 years long.
SubhanAllah.
50,000 years long. You're going to be asked about what you've done. And the first thing that you're going to be asked about is the Salah. Again, I want to talk the creed. That's the problem with a lot of Muslims. A lot of Muslims are not aware of who Allah is. That when you stand in the Salah, you're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they are supposed to pray because there is a day of resurrection. They don't know the events of that day. And that is why they are not mobilized. They are not motivated to pray five times. They say, why should I pray? I say, because he doesn't understand this. An invitation to those who do not pray. Go back and study the day of resurrection and the events of this day. And you will see, you will wake up for Fajr on time to pray.
Shaykh, only a few more questions. We're almost out of time. Tell us, people stand in line on what they call the Black Friday. They want to get a 10%, 20% discount. People, 5 in the morning, right. You know about this day,
right?
And people are waiting, and then, you know, they want to get the new Michael Jordans, and the store's open, and they like, you know, bum rushing each other, and they're up early. Muslims in line too. This is a shame. But Fajr comes, they don't wake up. So we want people to get up, to pray on time, to be committed to doing the right thing so they don't have to, you mentioned 50,000 years waiting in line. Tell us, for the one who's humbled himself in front of his Lord, he's trying to do the best that he can. He's praying 5 times a day and, you know, sincerely, you know, doing his best. Will this day be shortened for him? Will this day be easy?
It will feel different for the believer.
Allahu Akbar.
And that's how it is. You know, I always go back to that.
Because that's a scary thing, you know? Yeah. You wait in line at the post office, so you're getting agitated. You're like, man, come on.
No.
But man, this day when...
For the believer, it will be lessened. It will feel different. Actually, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that the duration before reckoning, al-hadith Sahih ibn Hibban, hadith Abi Hurayr, the duration before reckoning is going to feel like the sun is about to set until it sets. But for the believer... But for the other one, standing for long, actually they will go to the prophets and the messengers to please go intercede for Allah to begin judgment. They will actually request the messengers. They will go to Adam, then Noah, then Ibrahim, then Musa, then Isa, then Rasulullah SAW, Sayyidina Muhammad. Please, let's get out of this mess. And Rasulullah SAW will say, I'm for it, I'm for it, I'm for it. And he will go to intercede for mankind, even for the people who make cartoons out of him. They will go beg him on that day. The people who make fun out of him, the people who call him all these names, they will actually beg the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the day of resurrection to take them out of that, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come in a way that fits him in order to begin judgment.
Last closing, we only got 30 seconds, closing comments, suggestions for the people who have been struggling with their identity, struggling to wake up for Fajr. You know what, they do everything else, but they're not working to please the Creator, and we really got to get on the ball because death is a reality. Just in 30 seconds, what advice do you have for them?
The Prophet loves you. He loves you dearly. He loves you dearly. He's the only one in the day of resurrection who will be saying, my followers, my followers, my followers. Everyone else, including the friend of Allah, Ibrahim alayhi salam, nafsi, 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 nafsi. He will be saying, ummati, ummati, ummati. You know, in his bed of death, he used to say what? As-salah, as-salah, as-salah. As-salah. Are you negligent of the salah? That is why you're unhappy. Come on. Come on. Get on your feet. Start praying. And learn how to pray. Start praying. You will see in a month or two how much this will impact you and will impact everyone around you, including your own family.
Thank you, Shaykh, so much for being with us. May Allah reward you. Thank you. We are. Thank you. And that was some wonderful advice. I mean, think about it. Death can approach us at any time. Turn off the TV. You can have a heart attack. You can go outside, get in a car accident. Death can reach you, and you want to be prepared. And for the one who is submitted to the Creator alone and not his creation, worshiping only the one God, the one who created this whole universe and everything in it, the one who is going to judge you on a day of judgment. Did you hear that? Did you hear that the first thing you'll be asked about is the prayer? And if that's in line, then we can talk about the next. But if it's not, there's nothing to talk about. So for the Muslims, those who are submitted to the will of God, establish the prayer. Not 4, 3, 2, or one time a day, 5 times a day. And connect with the most loving, the most kind, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Connect with him, and he forgives all sin. Come to him with a sincere heart. But don't disconnect, because you'll be disconnected. Be connected through the prayer, through the salat. And continue to tune in here to the Deen Show every week. We got the new Dunya Tadinis out. Pick it up. And if you'd like, if this is your first time tuning in and you like what we have to say and you want to accept Islam or you want to get the verbatim word of God, the Quran, call the number 1-800-662-ISLAM and continue to tune in here to the Deen Show. We'll see you next time. God willing, peace be with you.